welcome to another episode of the Usagi Pod Jimbo Podcast. I'm your host, Mike, as always. Before we get into this particular episode of the podcast, I just want to say I'm a little under the weather. I don't know if it's allergies or I have a cold. I don't know. But I might sound a little different, and I'm sorry if I sound a little sickly. It's because I'm kind of sick, you know, at the point. But I was like, hey, you know what? I gotta put out an episode. I do feel a little better at this time. And I was like, I gotta at least get an episode out for you guys today or this week or next week, whenever you hear this, because we're almost done with the Mirage run. And I'm so excited to be almost done with the Mirage run. But after this episode, we got one more episode and we're done with the whole Mirage run volume 2 of Usagi Yojimbo, which is fun to get through, you know. But I just want to say, yeah, so bear with me and, you know, to help the podcast, listen, tell your friends, share the podcast. We actually do have a review on Apple Podcasts recently. I happened to check recently, and somebody actually left a very nice review. I'm going to actually read you the review now. So I apologize if I mispronounce your name wrong. But this is from Drubo Baggins. They left a 5-star review. And they were like, Usagi Pajimbo is a nice stroll through one of the best comics of all time. I do agree with that. Usagi Yojimbo is one of the best comics of all time. But thank you for saying it's a nice stroll, you know. And I appreciate the recap and the thoughts of the host. Thank you for that. That's very kind of you. And I've been going through the saga books and listening to the show, which helps to have things pointed out that I missed the first time reading. And I love the artwork used for each of the episodes as well. I just want to say thank you to you for leaving such kind words and leaving a review, helping spread the word of the podcast, Usagi Pajimbo. Thank you very much. It definitely means a lot. I love to hear people's feedback on the podcast, whether it's good or bad, you know. I like both, you know. But thank you for taking the time out to leave a review and whatnot. But you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. You can actually leave comments on Spotify, I believe, on each episode. I can't remember if I actually have that function or not yet. But you can leave 5 stars on there too if you like, if you listen on Spotify as well, or other podcast platforms that Usagi Pajimbo happens to be on. Don't listen on Google anymore, because we're not going to be on Google, because Google Podcasts is going away. But we're going to actually, it's actually all transferring over as of April 2nd, and it's going to YouTube Music is what it's going to, which is really weird, I know, but I've already checked and the podcast is actually already over there. But without further ado, thank you for the kind words, and let's get into this episode. So we are looking at the short story Kaiso, and this short story starts out, we see like water crashing against a rock, we see some seagulls, we see Usagi taking in the nice breeze of the seaside. I'm guessing this is around the seaside, from what I'm guessing, and we see this, he's like a woodcutter. He looks like one of the woodcutters. He's carrying a bunch of wood on his back, and he's like huffing and huffing and huffing. Usagi is just standing there, you know, and not really paying any much attention to this man. And this man actually accidentally slips on a rock and falls, and all his wood falls over. Usagi happens to help him up, and he's like, "Oh, are you okay?" He's like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, Samurai. I'm actually, it's just a little fall, you know?" And Usagi tells the man, "Here, let me help you up." And the man's like, "Help me up? Oh, never mind. I never had a samurai actually help me up before, you know?" And Usagi's like, "Hey, let me take some of this wood off your load, and I'll help you out, you know?" And later on, we see, like, you know, "Here we are, Usagi-san," the man says, you know, and Usagi says, I take it that you're a fisherman, and we happen to find out that the man who Usagi has actually been talking to and helping out, his name is Chichiro. And Chichiro says, you know, he's like, you know, yeah, we actually supplement our income by fishing, but actually we really are farmers. And Usagi's like, farmers? What are you talking about? I don't see any fields around here. And Chichiro points out there, and he points out to what I'm guessing is like a sea or the ocean. I'm guessing it's more the ocean, I would say. Yeah, because Usagi actually does say the ocean in the book. Duh. And then he happens to say, you know, oh yes, we are actually Kaiso farmers. I probably just butchered that. Which is actually seaweed farmers. And we see some people on these boats with these big, huge, like, rods. And, like, with these two prongs on the end of it. Picking up the seaweed. And, you know, they get to Chichiro's house. And he's like, oh, you can stack the wood here. You know, come in, you know. Let me, feed you, you know, stuff like that. Come stay the night with us, Chichiro says. And Chichiro's family happens to be very surprised that there's a samurai around here because, you know, samurai don't really mess around with peasants and interact with peasants, you know. And Chichiro and Usagi and his family, or Chichiro's family, have a nice meal. And Chichiro's wife actually says, you know, forgive us, for such poor food. And Usagi's like, no, it's okay. The food's actually really delicious. And Usagi says, perhaps I can actually help you guys out and contribute to the meal. I actually have some tea leaves. And they get so excited and happy. And they're like, tea leaves? It's been months since we've actually could afford some tea. And Chichiro's young son, Hayata, actually walks up to Usagi and he's like, oh, Mr. Samurai, you know, can I actually see your sword, Samurai, sir? And he's like, uh-huh, of course, Hayata, but be very careful. Don't touch it. Or you can touch it, but don't touch the blade because it's very sharp and you can actually mess up the blade and possibly rust it with the oil in your hands. Very interesting. I actually didn't know that. And Usagi shows him the sword, and he is just mesmerized by the sword. Taking him back, he's like, oh. Later on, Chichiro and Usagi are having a drink. I'm guessing they're having some sake, but Hayata is pooped out. He is tired. Usagi is like holding him like a baby. And Usagi says, you know, you have a good life here, Chichiro. And Chichiro says, it would be if we're not for our neighbors to the north, he says. Chichiro says, our neighbors to the north are actually seaweed farmers themselves. And at one time, we actually were friends. And he tells Usagi, at one point, they actually did have talks to actually have formed like a partnership between the two villages and actually make like a partnership between the seaweed farmers and work together and stuff like that. But because they were, everything fell apart because they were, quote, competitors. And Chichiro says, like, you know, now they resort to stealing our crops and stuff like that. And Usagi's like, oh, why didn't you actually call the authorities? And Chichiro says, we've thought about it, but we haven't had it actually had proof that they're actually stealing from us. And Usagi says, you know, have you talked to them? Have you confronted them? And he's like, yeah, of course I've actually talked to them. They've denied it. You know, they're not only thieves, but they're also liars as well, Chichiro says. The next day rolls around after their discussion from last night. And Chichiro says, you know, I don't know why you want to actually help out around here, Usagi-san, but be my guest, you know? Usagi basically tells Chichiro, he's like, you know, look, I really just want to help out because of your generous hospitality. I would help y'all out and, you know, take a little bit of the load off, I guess you could say, you know, Usagi saying, you know. And we get this, because Usagi says that Chichiro's job of seaweed farming is actually really fascinating. And Chichiro's like, fascinating, huh? I've actually never heard that said before, you know, about my life and whatnot, you know, it might be interesting, but it's my life, you know. I guess I've never really thought of it as interesting, because we find out that Chichiro's father and his father and his father were seaweed farmers, and one day he's going to pass down the tradition to his son, Hayata. You know, and Usagi says, you know, apologies, Chichiro, I didn't mean to take your lifestyle so lightly. And Chichiro's like, you know, it's okay, you know, apologies, no offense, I guess you could say. Did I forget to mention they're actually rowing in a boat? Yeah, Chichiro's actually rowing them in a boat with a big giant pole that we actually saw earlier that the seaweed farmers were actually using. And Usagi actually does question. He's like, hey, you know, why are we actually going backwards in a boat? And Chichiro says, ah, good question, Usagi. It actually isn't the fastest, but it actually does give me better control and stability with the boat while maneuvering between the seaweed fences. And he kind of laughs and he's like, besides, this is the way my dad used to do it and his dad used to do it, you know, and his father used to do it before him. You know, and they have a really nice chuckle and laugh. Then, out of nowhere, we actually hear a good morning, Usagi. And Usagi turns his head and he's like, Hayata, but it's gotta be like a few feet deep. Have you learned to walk on water? And Usagi is very shocked. And I was shocked too when I first read this. I was like, what? He can walk on water? But no. He's actually wearing these stilts that help him walk through the water. They use them for when the tide is low. They actually take the loose seaweed. They're able to walk through the water and actually get the loose seaweed towards the bottom of the seaweed fence that they have propped up, and to gather the seaweed, which is really interesting. Interesting concept to think about, you know. Then Usagi ends up helping Chichiro out. He actually uses the pole. I don't remember what exactly the pole is called. It's this really long pole with a handle on the end of it. It's got these two prongs. And he like jabs the pole into the ground, twists it, and brings up a whole big batch of seaweed. We transition from the end of the day, and Usagi and Chichiro and Hayata have actually had a long day's work. Usagi notices an unusual rock formation, and it looks like a fin. And Chichiro says, "Ah, yes, that is shark rock. It marks the boundary between our field and our neighbors. Nobody goes to the point. There is very few little seaweed actually there." Chichiro says it's time to actually head back to the village. But he also states that last time we would have had filled our baskets in half the time it took today. And Usagi's like, oh, those poachers are actually making things rough on you guys, aren't they? And Chichiro actually says, yes, a week ago, they even tore down two entire rows of, Kaiso, fences. It took 3 days for us to actually repair them. Which, if I remember correctly, those are actually like bamboo fences, if I remember correctly. But they get home, or get back to Chichiro's house. We find his wife actually preparing the seaweed to actually sell, which they end up, it's like dried seaweed, and they call it actually nori. And they're actually packing bales of it to actually go sell to a seaweed broker in town later on. But Chichiro's wife actually does show Usagi the steps it takes as well. I'm not going to go through all the steps it takes, but she talks about how preparation for the nori. The next day, Usagi and Chichiro actually go to the neighboring town to sell the nori, the dried seaweed. And Chichiro's like, oh, hey, there's Yamanaka. You know, he's the seaweed broker. And Chichiro actually notices, he's like, hey, there's Bunji from the neighboring village as well. He must have actually had a delivery to Yamanaka as well. I'll fix him. And Chichiro and Bunji actually get into an argument. Bunji called, or Chichiro actually calls Bunji a poacher. Bunji told him that, I'm not raiding your field, don't blame me for your poor crops. They get into this big, huge argument. Usagi tells them to both stop, do not make this a public spectacle of yourselves, which I have to agree with Usagi. Do not make an ass out of yourself in public. Bunji actually says, so now you're hiring Ronin thugs to do your dirty work, Jichiro. And Usagi looks at him and he's like, I'm no thug. If I were, you'd be lying bloodied on the streets. And Bunji actually gets scared, starts to run away, and Usagi tells him, now get out of here, go away, cool off. And Bunji's like, yes, sir, I'll go cool off, yeah. As things are wrapping up, Chichiro actually says, if you hadn't intervened, I would have wrangled his neck, a confession out of him, and Usagi's like, he denied the poaching, as you said. You have no proof at all. So you would have basically been arrested for assault. And he's like, yeah, you're right, Chichiro says. So they end up going off to sell the seaweed to Yamanaka. A short time later, we see Usagi and Chichiro and this guy who is called Yamanaka, who is the seaweed broker. And Chichiro says, thank you for buying Minori, Yamanaka-san, but the price you've quoted is much less than you paid me a month ago. And he's like, Yamanaka says, what can I do? I just bought a large supply from your neighbor Bunji. He must have found a new productive field. Here, look at the sample of his seaweed. And Chichiro's like, huh? What? And he takes the seaweed. He's like, this is ours. I can prove it. And Yamanaka like says, calm down, Chichiro. You can't make rash assumptions at all. After all, we just have your word. That is all. And for all we know, Chichiro, you can actually be wrong, And he's like, well, Then Yamanaka's attention turns to Usagi, and he's like, you see, Ronin, I must act as a voice of reason in misunderstandings like this. But what is your involvement in all of this? And Usagi's like, I'm just a wandering wanderer passing through. I stopped here for a while to look after the welfare of my friend Chichiro. I can leave now satisfied because he has discovered a new bountiful seaweed field at the Shark Rock Point that will assure his future in the village. And Chichiro's like, huh? What are you talking about, Usagi-san? Usagi shushes him. And Usagi's like, we can trust Yamanaka-san with your secret. After all, he is just the benefactor. And since the point marks your boundary, you will have to negotiate farming rights with your neighbors, no matter how you feel about them, he says. And Yamanaka says, oh, that's good news. Also, allow me to act as an in-between for negotiation. Perhaps you will be able to settle all your disputes with the North Village. I will send them a letter for a proposal today. Which I noticed something when I was actually reading this. In this one panel, he doesn't have like a mustache, but in the other panels, he has like this weird long mustache. I don't know if that's maybe like a mishap or something. I would love feedback down below let me know. Or maybe I'm just seeing things, or I just don't know my Japanese culture, you know, but that's interesting to actually see. So that night, we see some men rowing to the seaweed fields, and they're like, hurry up, you know, we haven't much time. Here's Shark Point Rock. They're like, anchor here, find the seaweed bed. They push their sticks into the ground, you know. They're like, there's no seaweed here. We were lied to. And the men here, is it so wrong to lie to thieves? And they're like, what? Well, what's going on? It was a trick, huh? But there's only two of them. We see Chichiro and Usagi on a boat. And the thieves are like, capsized their boat. No one will question the accidental drowning. His swords are too short to be any use on a boat anyways. And one of the men actually takes the pole and actually uses it and goes after and tries to hit them, because it's a really, really long pole. And Usagi's like, look out, Chichiro. And Chichiro gets hit with the pole and falls back. And they're like, oh man, we've got him trapped. And they're both on both sides of Usagi's boat. And they're like, surround him, he can't dodge us all. And Usagi actually does that. One of them actually thrusts the pole, trying to stab Usagi. Usagi actually dodges, and he takes the pole away from him and jumps up into the air. He actually does like a drop kick to one of them off the boat, which is a really, really, really cool scene. I love it. And the men are like, oh, get him, slay him. And they're going after him. I love this scene. Like, these two action panels are really cool. The way Usagi uses this pole, he like uses it and he like thrusts it at this guy, pinning the guy in between around his neck, and the guy's like, ugh, and kind of like knocks the wind out of him. And Usagi like picks the guy up with this forked pole, and he actually tosses him in the water, and then he like spins the pole around and actually hits the other guy on the boat. And then Usagi ends up like thrusting the other end of the pole, knocking out this one guy. And the one guy he actually forked with and threw in the water, he knocks out this other guy. Sorry. He knocks out this other guy, and he like yelps and like falls into the water. He's like, who sent you? Who do you work for? Which, I gotta be honest, when that popped in, when I read that panel, the first thing that popped into my head was the Austin Powers. And Austin Powers 1, where number 2, and he's like fighting with number 2. He's like, who does number 2 work for? And he's like drowning him in the water. That scene popped into my head when I was reading this, because Usagi starts drowning this guy and pulling him back up and drowning him. He's like, who sent you? Who sent you? And this guy's like, he's like drowning and getting, he's like, answer me. He's like, no, cough. He'll kill me. He just pushes his head back down in the water, yanks it back up, pushes it down, yanks it back up. He's like, Yamanaka sent us to sabotage the fields. He feared that if the two villages were to create a partnership, that they might form their own distributorship and distributionership, and drive him out of business. He cultivated the distrust between them and kept them apart. And Usagi turns and he's like, have you heard enough? And apparently both villages actually heard enough, because we see Bunji. And Bunji's like, yeah, I've heard everything, Samurai. You were right. Yamanaka-san was behind this treachery, and no doubt about it. You know, we would have been blamed for the theft tonight. And they plan to actually inform the authorities of Yamanaka's deceit and lies. And we get this nice, touching scene where Bunji actually helps out his neighbor, Chichiro. He helps out Chichiro. He's like, oh, thanks, Bunji. You know, I hope we can discuss this new partnership and agree on a partnership, you know, for the distributionership. He's like, oh, you know, sounds good. You know, good idea. You know, we have Yamanaka to thank of this, and we hear laughter, and they're just laughing through the night, and that's where this issue ends. So, I have to say, this issue was a little interesting. It wasn't really my 100% cup of tea. There were parts that I actually did like about it. I loved the whole thing where, like, the seaweed farmer or the seaweed seller was actually, you know, putting the two camps against its villages against each other. That was really interesting to find out at the end of the story, which I did have a little hint or inkling that I thought that was actually the case that was going on and whatnot. But one thing I mean, it's not like a detriment to the story. It's just me personally, I didn't 100% care about the seaweed farming. Like, telling me about the seaweed farming. Now, I get it that, you know, San Sakai, you know, is all about, you know, introducing, like, Japanese history and, like, learning about, like, the Japanese culture and stuff like that, which is interesting. But for me personally, I had a hard time reading the whole process about farming seaweed and making seaweed. It very much reminded me of a kite story, to say the least. It wasn't bad. I still found enjoyment out of this particular issue. When I found out there was a double cross, I found out I thought that was more interesting. And, you know, it's like seeing, like, oh, what's actually going to happen with the seaweed farmers? You know, like, why do they actually hate each other? Are they like Hatfield and McCoys? If you get that reference, that history reference, you know, like, why do they hate each other? You know, and it turns out they hated each other over a lie, which was interesting to see, you know. I love the fights between the thugs and Usagi. I thought that was a very, very creative way to do a fight. You know, to not use swords, but use farming tools. I thought that was really cool and a very, very dynamic way to do that, I would say, in my personal opinion. I really like that a lot. Now, is this a bad story? No. I actually don't think this is, like, a bad story. I just had little nitpicks here and there that didn't make this an overall, like, wonderful story. I do feel like this could possibly have ramifications in the future. Who knows? You know, you never know with the Stan Sakai one-off story. Like I know before, like, I thought the slaver story was not going to go into Daisho and then go into, like, meeting Stray Dog and stuff like that, you know? So, you never say never with a one-off story. You know, this could come back, you know, we could learn more about the seaweed farmers. Who knows, you know? But, you know, like, it wasn't my cup of tea, but it's not a bad story. It's above average. Like, it's like if I had to put, like, a star rating out of 5, I would say it's a strong, like, 3.5 out of 5, I would say. But all in all, like, it was a decent story. Let me know your thoughts about this particular story, if you like it and whatnot, down in the comments or, you know, on the Usagi Pajimbo Facebook page, where I post all my episodes and whatnot. And yeah, thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed this particular episode of the podcast. I had fun talking about this story. You know, it's a very interesting story. I had to use Google Translate a couple times for some of the Japanese words, pronunciations and whatnot. Even though I probably still butchered the sayings and whatnot. But yeah, thanks for listening. Make sure to go follow on whatever podcast platform you listen to. Tell your friends, share the podcast. That's the best way to help it grow. You know, rate and review the podcast. Leave comments. Leave reviews on podcast platforms, preferably iTunes and Spotify, because that's the ones I've checked the most. But thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Stay safe and make sure to go read some Usagi Yojimbo.